Welcome to episode 78 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Today I'm going to answer a question from a listener named Peter Vogel that I received quite some time ago. Sorry for the delay in replying to this, Peter, but here we go with my answer to your question on how I plan my shoots.
Hi, Martin. Peter here. I discovered your podcast when the Photocast Network was formed and quickly downloaded all your past shows. I love your podcast, but perhaps more importantly, I love your photography. Here's a quick question that might take you an episode or two to answer. It sounds like you and I are in the same boat with a day job that keeps us busy, but a need to get out and shoot on a regular basis. So I'm wondering, how do you research a new destination, best locations for shooting, restrictions on equipment, crowds, and so forth, before you go there? For that matter, how do you decide where you want to go next? Thanks, Martin. Love your podcast.
So thanks, Peter, for the great message and the kind words and the question, most importantly, I guess. And then I just want to say once again that I'm really sorry for delaying answering this question for so long. Before I go on, I'd like to say that this is going to be a very subjective topic. I'm going to outline some of the things that I do in planning my shoots, but I'm sure that there's a wealth of other information and tricks that people use in your own planning. So by all means, let's start a thread on this on the forum at martinbaileyphotography.com and hear what everyone else has to say. So anyway, one trick that I use if I'm stuck for somewhere to go, this happens sometimes, but if I can't think of where to go from the other sources that I'm going to mention after this, I just go back and refer to my own photographs from the same time period in previous years. Until now, I've used iView Media Pro's date finder to get a quick list of shots from the same period for multiple years. I can now do the same thing with Lightroom 2, and I don't quite know as of now which I'll settle with, but the point is that I look at the same period from the previous years. So say I'm going to figure out where I want to go at the beginning of April. I'll go to the date finder and select April for 2006, and then I'll maybe go down to the like single days, or you know, just sort of select the last week in March and then the first week in April to allow for some sort of variance in the certain types of, say, flowers that are blooming at that time. Or, you know, then what I'll do then is I'll go along and I'll select that same time, holding the control button down in Windows, and I'll just select the same week, either side of the end of, you know, the last week in March, first week in April, for 2005, 2004, and I'll go back and just add all of the years that I've got. And I guess with Lightroom, I could also hit the B button on my keyboard to add that selection to a quick selection so that I don't have to worry too much about sort of keeping the control button down. And then I'll maybe, you know, if I find this useful, or I maybe want to come back to it in a few days, I might create a permanent collection. Maybe you could do that for each month of the year or each sort of 2 weeks. But the general idea is to sort of use the date finders in your cataloging software to get a view of what you've shot at that roughly that same time in previous years. So note that I do keep a catalog of all my images to date, but I also keep one that I call simply best shots. And that's from my, you know, not everyone's going to think that they're my best shots, but they're the ones that I select and catalog. Keep them in a separate directory, and they're the ones that I usually upload to my website too. So there's 1,200 or so of those. This might not be totally comprehensive, as I have many other good shots that didn't make it, but at least one from each batch should have made it into that final list. On the other hand, many of them could probably be removed now from that that list, that final list, because my own artistic vision and style and my ability to capture the subject as I want to has moved on from years ago. But for this exercise, you know, just to find ideas for future shoots, I find that using my best shots list is enough. I can then simply scroll down through the list and see where I was over the last sort of 6 years since I've been shooting digital. And say, like I mentioned earlier, the flowers that are in bloom at that time or the trees and the scenery look different throughout the year in various parts of the country as well, depending on how far south or north they are. So I basically can just look through and sort of see what's happening at those times of years. And obviously where I was shooting, you know, that's no use just looking at the pictures. I've got to be able to go figure out how I was shooting, but that's really more of a keywording and, or a sort of a cataloging issue than what I'm trying to get to at the moment. But with this data, I can make a decision, as to, you know, whether I want to go back to a certain place and try to improve on a certain type of photograph or, you know, find something else more original there. And hopefully come up with something better than the first shoot. Now, the problem with this method is that it only works for those that already have a lot of locations in the catalogue. And even then, of course, if we use this method only, then we'll just end up shooting the same things year in, year out. And it won't really help us a whole lot to expand our portfolios. So the next thing I do is something that I've touched on before, and that's just simply buying magazines. Magazines can be an incredibly good source of information on where to shoot. But as the ones that I buy regularly are only written in Japanese, I'm not going to go into detail on like the title so much. And sort of, I was thinking of putting loads of links into the notes, but I'm sure that there are very few people listening that really want to know about the actual publication, so I'm not going to bother doing that. But my favorite, I guess I will put the link to this one, and I'm contradicting myself already. But my favorite is one called Fukei Shashin, and that basically means landscape photographs in Japanese. But the English subtitle of the magazine is Landscape and Nature Photographic Magazine. What they do is they use images from previous years to show examples of what to shoot at that time of year. For example, right now, the March-April issue is out, and so the main theme for Japan right now is cherry blossom. From mid-March until probably the end of April, as you get further up north and probably even later in Hokkaido, the cherry blossom starts to bloom, working its way up the country from the south, and you know, it's basically just a beautiful time to be here. Now, macro shots of cherry blossom can be shot just about anywhere, so you know, you don't need to travel like miles and miles or really plan this so much if there's a cherry blossom tree near you, if you just want to go out and do some macro shots. You know, but the places that are introduced in the magazine for this, you know, it's a bi-monthly magazine, so they give 2 months per magazine. It's released 6 times a year. But what they're doing this time, for an example, is they're really just introducing places where the cherry blossom trees play a large part in the landscape. And, you know, that comes alive, really, at this time of year. So what I do each time I come home with one of these magazines is I'll sit down for an hour or so and I'll just sort of dog-ear the pages. You know, bend the top of the page over on any of the places that I feel that I'd like to visit. So the other great thing about this book is that they include the time that the shots were made. You know, they give information on the type of, on the weather, the conditions. It's important to say that I don't simply turn up at these places at the exact time that it says in the book, but it does help to sort of see the direction of the sunlight at certain times of the day, and say if it's a like a waterfall in a sort of an enclosed area, you might be able to figure out when the light's going to be passing across the front of the falls and when it's not, to sort of time your visit. But I'd not advise you to just find magazines and or books covering your area and then sort of run off and try to copy the pictures in them. But, you know, copying photos in to some degree is a great way to hone your technical and, I guess, your compositional skills. But simply sort of coming out with exactly the same picture from your own camera is not going to really be very original. And so it's only really useful for studying the art. Please don't get me wrong, though. I'm all for other people, you know, copying other people's work to a degree, looking at it for inspiration and ideas. It's just doing an exact same copy of the same thing that I feel we should steer away from. But anyway, the data given in this kind of publication will allow you to make decisions on what time of day to go, whether you aim for the same time or use that time to think of the best time you want to go for your effect. And then even if you're looking for something totally different, you know, you can basically figure out what it's going to look like at a particular time of year. So the time of year, though, does fluctuate. And for some, like tree blossom, and let's say the autumn leaves in the autumn, cleverly enough, that's going to change. You know, the window of opportunity is going to change year by year by anything from just a few days to up to 10 days or so, either way, of the times that you're seeing these books. It just fluctuates from year to year, depending on how warm or cold it's been. And this is where the greatest aid to researching locations to shoot comes in. Not only has the digital age made it so much easier for us to shoot photographs and process them ourselves, but it's also brought us the internet. And again, I don't know about other countries, but Japan has multiple sites that are updated daily during the time that the cherry blossom or the autumn leaves are at their best. And they tell you exactly what stage the blossom or the leaves color, the color of the leaves is. And this means that I can usually end up with a list of places that I've sort of dog-eared in my book, my magazine, that, you know, the ones that I'd like to visit. And then the final decision is often not even made until sort of the day or probably a few days before I go, but often the evening before I set out, having checked these sites for the conditions of the areas that I'm thinking of heading out to. You do have to be a little bit careful, as some of the information seems to be given by some authority or a certain town sort of representative, for example, that would prefer to attract tourists for financial gains rather than benefit the tourists themselves. So they do sometimes seem to sort of string out the best periods to unrealistic extent. I've been to one area, for example, one town that advertised full colour in the autumn leaves, and I got there to find all the leaves fallen apart from like one tree beside the train station. So this might have made a nice photograph if that's what you're into, but you know, we should always try to make the most of the situations that we're in to some point. But as I suspect, none of us have all that much time, and Peter touched on this in the question as well. You know, we don't have all of that much time to dedicate to our photography, especially when we have a day job. So we need to spend it wisely. And it can often help to spot this sort of thing, you know, the unrealistic extending of the periods that are best to shoot. It can often help to spot this sort of thing by just looking at you know, places, similar places, you know, similar altitudes that are close by as well. The altitude is important to check because it does play a large part in you know, the level or the, you know, the whether the blossom is blooming or the tree's leaves are turning, things like that. But you know, basically, you know, check somewhere nearby to make sure that you're not being sort of conned by some town representative that wants the money for your lunch and your gasoline. I guess that comes from speaking with American people a lot, but the petrol or whatever, you know, the, I guess gasoline slipped out there from an Englishman. It's a little bit of a thing that I should probably watch. But, you know, they want your gas money. So it's, you know, it's the sort of thing that you should probably watch out for. But anyway, you know, I've been concentrating on sort of for the last few minutes, I've been concentrating more on like cherry blossom, autumn leaves, things like that. But in general, you know, you need to look for the times of year to go to places and just sort of, you know, places of beauty. And these are all in these sort of magazines. The winter ones that come out show you great places like mountainous scenes that are going to look particularly nice in, you know, when covered in snow. In the summertime, they'll often sort of concentrate on things like waterfalls or, you know, just general scenery that still looks okay, despite sort of a lot of the foliage being a little bit sad in the heat of the summer. So the other type of magazine that I buy it's often a quarterly MOOC, they call it. I don't know if this is one of the concatenated words that the Japanese like so much, but I've mentioned this before in the podcast as well, but a MOOC is a magazine and a book mixed together. It's basically a book in magazine form. There are a few that I buy pretty much every season, even if I have the same season from the previous year. These either concentrate on an entire season like spring or autumn, or they'll concentrate on a type of photography or a genre like landscapes or waterfalls, etc. Again, they provide the date and the time of all the shots to help in planning, with some more detailed with relation to the location than others. And usually there's a map too, which of course really helps to actually get there. The other source of information that I tend to get hints from is television. I don't watch a lot of television, but when I do, I watch sort of nature documentaries, either on wildlife or scenic areas. These two can be great for getting ideas, and I tend to just jot down the names of the places that look nice and the season, if it's obvious, so that I can plan a trip. An example of this would be the Oirase Rapids, the river that I visited in July 2006. I'd seen this a few times on the TV and thought it would just make a nice place to visit and to shoot, and also sort of to take the missus for a few days for a break. And other sources might be photographers in your area. I don't do this myself, but I'd say that if you are in or you can join a local photography club, I'm sure that there'll be lots of people willing to sort of tell you where the best places you can go at various times of year are. And they may also schedule clubs, club shoots, where you can sort of get out and join in the shoot with lots of other people. And it's also a good chance for you to sort of share your own insights in photography with others, which is often a very sort of fulfilling thing to do. One other thing that I guess I should talk about is if you are intending to sort of shoot sunrises or sunsets, you'll need to check the exact time and the direction from which the sun will rise or fall. Likewise for the moon, investigating the phases of the moon and the time and the length of the nautical and twilight, for example, and the civil twilight, things like that can be very helpful. An explanation of the various types of twilight, by the way, would take a pretty long podcast if I was to do that myself, but that would be reinventing the wheel to some extent, because the guys over at the Radiant Vista did a great podcast on twilight and the various types of. So you might want to check that out if you're interested in more in that. And I'll put a link into the show notes to a thread on the MBP forum that will point you to some useful software tools for looking up these things, this kind of information. I usually pretty much know where the sun's going to, you know, what time the sun's going to come up in, you know, when I'm shooting close to home, but if you travel, it's worth keeping this in mind. I find that in Japan, most hotels have like a plaque or a little notice board in the lobby of the hotel with the sunrise and sunset times. But, you know, that's not always going to be the case, and I'm not sure how that sort of works in other countries. I think I mentioned this in another podcast as well, but the utility that I find most useful since buying a smartphone running on Windows Mobile, the operating system, is a great piece of freeware for the Pocket PC from Jonathan Sachs called Ephemeris. And this has four screens giving lots of information about the phases of the moon on all days of the month that you can choose. You can change the day or it defaults to today. And then that gives you the position that the sun and the moon will be in the sky at all of the times of the day in 15-minute increments. The main screen has a summary with just the rise and set for both the moon and the sun. And the degrees at which, you know, I guess this is compass degrees, at which they'll rise and set. And there's also a large representation of the moon with the phase that it's in today. You know, or you can, again, move the date around to sort of see what it's going to be like. Anyway, without going into much more detail on this, since getting my hands on the ability to get this information easily, I find that I rely on it much more than I used to, and it does help to plan where to be and when. And one thing actually on this note is that it helps to carry a compass as well to locate where the sun or the moon will rise in relation to where you are in the landscape, and that will help you to sort of plan your shots as well. If you're set on getting the sun or the moon or, you know, or the light from in your photographs, get to your location early enough to sort of fine-tune your position before the action starts, and you can avoid some last-minute panic as they appear in a totally different part of the sky to that which you expected. Another part of Peter's question was how I investigate equipment restrictions as well. For me, I rarely travel to places that have restrictions, but if my target location is a little suspect, then I'll look on the internet for this information. It's a little bit hit and miss, my method. I was caught out badly by my laxed approach to this when I went to the Taj Mahal in December 2006. As not only were tripods not allowed, but an absolute plethora of other stuff was not allowed, which I had no idea about until the morning I arrived. Worse still, I guess it wouldn't have really changed things, but I found that you can actually apply for permission to take these things inside if you go to Delhi, which is a 5-hour drive away. So I guess good practice if you are going to be sort of heading into controlled space such as parks or grounds of historical buildings or stadiums, etc., would be to sort of check online before setting out. I guess another subject closely related to this would be how I decide to what to take on a shoot, you know, the actual equipment as well as the tripods, you know, which lenses, things like that. But I think I'll save this for another full episode at some time, hopefully in the not too distant future. So that's about all I can think of right now that I use in my own location planning. Please do come over to the MBP forum and add your own tips to a thread. I think I'll probably just start one, kick one off as soon as I release this, and then I'll probably put put a link to that thread in the show notes so that, you know, you can get straight to it if you're not a regular sort of forum participant. In summary, I guess just to sort of recap on what I've just said, I get fresh ideas from books and magazines. I think that just general, you know, books on photography from a single photographer as well are very useful, often more for inspiration than actual locations, though many of them don't include location details. I check out previous year's images from roughly the same time. I use the internet to fine-tune the times that I visit and a Pocket PC application to fine-tune my plans if I'm going to be working with either the sun or the moon or their effects on the landscape. I hope that has helped some, Peter, and thanks again for a great question and all the kind words there. It's always nice to receive a pat on the back as well as questions that I can sort of answer in this way. If you do have questions yourself, I have a few more that I'm hoping to do a podcast on over the next few weeks. But if you do have some anything that you think I might be able to answer, then there's a MyChingo, a MobaTalk applet on the top page of martinbaileyphotography.com, and that is where Peter recorded his message. All you need is a mic on your computer and you can just record it right there online. So do please come along and sort of and drop yourself. It's nice to just sort of get greetings as well. So if you just want to say hi to everybody, it's nice to put a voice to the name in the forum for the forum members, for example. But also questions such as this are really, really welcome. And hopefully it'll help me to keep this interactive and sort of giving you the information that you hopefully want, or at least sort of setting the stage for others to give information on that, which I'm sure we'll be able to do with the forum thread that we'll be starting straight after this. So I guess before we do finish, there's one other thing that I should add on this subject. It's not 100% related, but way back in November 2005, I released episode 11 of the MBP podcast, which was called Good Planning, Good Luck. And in this episode, I touched on a few things that I've reiterated today, but I went a step further to propose that good planning is key for getting you to the right place at the right time, but that luck had a big part to play in the ultimate success of the shoot. I'm in no way playing down the necessity to plan, and without a doubt, without actually getting up at unearthly hours on occasion or driving for miles and miles or making many other kinds of personal sacrifices and investments, without doing all of that, then you're not going to be even in with a chance of getting any decent photographs. It's like the lottery. You've got to be in it to win it. But, without doing that, then there's no chance of luck smiling on you. So at the end of the day, there are things that are out of our control, such as the weather or the wildlife that can make or break a picture. I was reminded of this last December when I was hoping to shoot the red crowned cranes in Hokkaido in the mist over the river in which they roost. I was up at 5 a.m. every morning during the shoot in sub-zero temperatures over there on the bridge, checking out the scene, but the mist just didn't appear. It wasn't quite cold enough to make the mist happen, so it just wasn't there. So, the point was as well, I mentioned this in the podcast, but a few days before I started shooting on the 27th of December and on the 25th, Christmas Day, it had been cold enough to produce a lot of really, really nice mist. And a guy that was still at the hotel that I was staying at showed me his amazing shots from the day. He had been lucky. He'd been lucky because he was there and he was in the cold just as I was the days I was there. But, the luck had shone on him and not me. I might have been presented with similar conditions and, I might not. And it turns out that this time it wasn't going to happen. The only thing to do is to go back and be persistent until my chance comes along. And that's exactly what I intend to do. So that's the point I was just trying to make, that, get out there, do the planning, do as much planning as you can, and get yourself in a position for luck to shine on you, and then hopefully it will all come together, hopefully more often than not. So that's it for today. I hope this has been of some help. Again, thanks, Peter, for the great question. Remember that the Simplicity Assignment is now open for entries. Listen to episode 77 for details, or check out the assignment forum at martinbaileyphotography.com. That is going to give you a chance to get enough votes from your peers to win the Lowepro camera bag that I've been talking about for the last few months. So, you know, get involved and give yourself a chance. Apart from that, all that really remains to be said today is have a great week, whether you're out shooting or whatever you do. Bye bye.
PhotoCastNetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. PhotoCastNetwork.com.